This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Knightson from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Also, Jonathan Hood, ESPN Chicago. And you can always check him out as well. Sunday mornings, SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation, 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. All right, boys. The cage match season is upon us. We've got War Games coming up. Last night, we had Blood and Guts, their version of it, over on AEW television. That's where we start. Last night.
We also got a cage match next week, don't forget.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Full Gear with Joe and Hangman. Full Gear. More cages. Yeah.
Lots of cages. Yes. Cages here, cages there. Cages are everywhere in the month of November in pro wrestling. But we start with the cages from last night. Blood and Guts, two matches. We had the first ever women's Blood and Guts match for AEW. And the main event was the men's side. Who was your MVP for Blood and Guts?
Well, there's two candidates. Coming in at number two is Sky Blue, who told us here on Good Karma Wrestling that she wanted to be in a match like this. Right. And boy, did she. Boy, howdy.
She was taking notes from Mox. Yes. Like, just wasted no time of getting busted open. Just zero time before she got cut open.
And remember, go back and listen to that interview, because remember in that interview, she said when she was trying to sell her mother on her becoming a pro wrestler, she showed her a Mox mat, and her mom's like, no, you're not doing that. And here she is years later doing just that.
I mean, it's something. But from a technical standpoint, here's what's interesting about that. So it's Sky Blue and Willow. And there's zero heat for Sky Blue. You know why? Because no one hates Sky Blue.
Right.
So because usually in a war game situation, like for in the past, it was Dusty and Arn, right? Everyone hated Arn. Got the aviator glasses and spoke well, great promo, and it's Dusty Rhodes. And so you get someone with heat. With Sky Blue, nobody hated heat. If you notice, it was no one saying anything. But then she bleeds, and it's like, oh, my God. And Willow just kept beating on her to the point where I'm like, you keep beating on her, Sky Blue's going to be a babyface again. Better stop doing that. And so Willow just kept taking a sledgehammer to her, and just the blood, the look was just unbelievable. But this is what Sky Blue wanted, so she got it. But ultimately, Gabe, Brian, it's Darby Allin. Because here's AEW allowing Darby Allin to be pinballed all over that arena, goes through a burning tables, yep, set on fire. And by the way, where were the extinguishers? His back was still on fire, and no one was there to help him.
There were tables there he rolled onto.
I mean,
that puts
fire there. Number one. I learned from a kid at a very young age that stop, drop, and roll is supposed to be very effective.
That's all it takes.
Apparently not in AEW. You just keep walking with the fire on your back. So, I mean, for a guy that – and I was so appalled by this. And I'm just telling you, Brian, like, as much as you love the craziness and the BS in wrestling, when I saw Darby Allin go through the flaming tables and then no one putting his back out on fire, I said, you know what? That's enough.
Yeah.
I actually had enough. I was up to here with it, and I wanted it to end. Wow. I'm never like that, but that bothered me that there was nobody there to put his back out. Hey, someone help him, for God's sakes.
Darby probably told them not to put his back out. Let's be honest.
He's not Danielson. And by the way, Danielson, if you listen to the commentary, he goes, you hear what he said? He goes, guys, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Did you hear him say that? I'm like, oh, even he's had enough. he's into everything. But then when he saw all the craziness, at some point he got quiet in the broadcast. He goes, guys, what are we doing?
That's fair. I mean, we even saw Marina Shafir with shoes on. That's how crazy things got
very,
last night.
Very briefly. The shoes up before she even got into the ring, the shoes then came off. For Marina Shafir. I don't even know why she was wearing socks. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah. My MVP, because I'm curious about what happens next, Kyle O'Reilly got the finish. Like, I feel like with the Death Riders, we're going down a path that Mox is going to get kicked out as he keeps losing matches. But Kyle O'Reilly did it. And Kyle O'Reilly seems to be one of those guys that's right there in the mid-card, especially in AEW. Is there going to be more there? Like, is he maybe going to fill some of those Adam Cole roles that we envisioned, you know, a year or so ago? I was very interested by that and was very surprised to see him ultimately get that finish last night.
Yeah, yeah. Him being the one that crawls out of the, you know, again, has the ankle lock, gets caught up in the Bulldog show, crawls out of that to get the ankle lock and the tap. I think that is interesting going forward. My MVP, I guess I split it because I thought the women's was better than the men's. I enjoyed the women's a little bit. And both were, I thought, had their highs. But we mentioned Marina Shafir. I feel like her qualifying match and between this, we haven't seen a lot of her, right? Like, she's just a stoic badass within within the Death Riders. She's is supposed to stand there and look menacing, and she's done a pretty good job, including, you know, again, what was that last week? She spit on her husband during his match with Mox. You know,
yeah,
this is what she does. I thought she was fantastic. I thought the way they built her up to look as good as she did between, you know, getting out that bed of nails, looking like she was going to go on it, but then she puts the world champ on the bed of nails, hits Toni Storm with the mirror. I thought she was great. And I thought Mercedes was fantastic last night, like doing everything, not just like hitting her spots and everything. The way she sold getting hit with brass knuckles, the rent was due. For Mercedes Moné, those brass knuckles, and she sold her ass off for Harley Cameron, which was a hell of a reveal, by the way. Like, yes, a hell of a reveal of, oh, here comes Mini Moné, a cute little, you know, kind of comedic spot, pulls out the puppet, but that was just to distract Mercedes from the fact that, oh, by the way, underneath this puppet, here's some brass knucks, and they're coming your way. I thought the way that Mercedes stood out, the way that she sold for everybody, I thought that was fantastic. And again, I feel like Marina took that next step. So those were my two MVPs from last night.
See, I think Harley took that next step. Like, we've seen her as comedic, and we've seen the crowd get behind her. But that moment specifically was like, all right, it's the puppet again. But then for it to be serious, and obviously Mercedes helped with that, but I thought that was a huge next step for Harley last night.
Harley was not dressed for Blood and Guts. I thought there was just an odd outfit. I'm like, that's great for Twin Peaks or you know, a bar. But I was like, you got to dress a certain way. Like, yeah, she was too scantily clad to not feel the effects of some glass or something, man. I would have had just like a bubble wrap from head to toe. I was scared for her in that match. But no, Gabe, you hit it right on the head when you think about Mercedes Moné, because there's some people that are in wrestling that you say, I can never see you in a fighting situation. Like, as a wrestler, like Roderick Strong, for instance, we saw yesterday. I'm like, you're a wrestler's wrestler, man. Can you fight? Can you fight in the Blood and Guts, right? It's like, technically sound, you know, just, you know, he has very few peers that in which the way he wrestles. And the same thing with like Harley Cameron. I'm like, Harley, are you really going to fight? You're going to battle? Well, she had a great spot. Brass Knucks was great. So, yeah, I would agree. And it's funny, we were just talking about this last week, Gabe. We were wondering, like, which one was going to be better. I think we both agreed that the women was more intriguing because it's the first time we saw it. And then the way they went about it, I think one of the high spots was Tekla. I thought that Tekla probably should have started it off with a little bit more heat. No one likes Tekla. So Tekla Willow, but when Tekla came in, the mood changed, I thought.
Well, yeah, Tekla's fantastic. Again, then the spot with Tekla and Julie Hart climbing out. Like, they're so tiny that they can escape the cage. So then they can open it up. And again, it wasn't just a, okay, well, they're small enough to escape the cage, but then what do you do? Like, it made sense for them to escape the cage, bust open the lock, get some of the baby faces out of there so you get the numbers advantage. Then you're closing the door, locking it so they can't get back in. Like, it just felt like whoever produced that match did a tremendous job. And I'm assuming there's when you have a match that's that big and that long, you have multiple people involved with that many like wrestlers in the ring. Like, it was just so well put together. Like, everything to me made sense in that match. Like, absolutely everything made sense.
Yeah, and it's just an awesome payoff also. Like, I feel like we're progressing stories in that women's division, and we've praised that division over the last few months where it is so deep that you had 12 women in that match, and there's so many ways to go now. Like, even
and you were supposed to have somebody out. You had 12, Brian. Right. You had 12 with an injury replacement.
Yes.
You had two.
Because you assume Penelope was supposed to be in it also.
So with the sling.
And they were both hurt. So that's two places you were replaced. And now we're going to get Mercedes and Statlander, who I thought was good in it last night also. Marina doing her thing. At this point, I'm willing to put the tag titles on Marina and Megan Bain.
I have no problem with that. I you know, when people say the AEW doesn't have any stories, that's not true. They do have stories, because there's plenty of stories in Blood and Guts. Like, for instance, what we just talked about with Marina Shafir. It makes me wonder who the leader is going to be of the Death Riders once they kick Moxley out. Moxley clearly has a problem with submissions, so because that's three in a row now, so he taps out quickly. So you know this is going to come to a head, that Moxley's not going to be with the Death Riders anymore. It's going to be a zero confidence thing, a thumbs down. And it makes me wonder, you know, is it going to be Pac who came in last, or is it going to be Marina Shafir that's going to be head of this new Death Riders. That's going to be funny to see, or interesting to see who's going to be the head of this.
Even though it would be a tag team belt, like if she's walking around with gold, to me, it would be hard not to make her again. And maybe they don't win the tag team, because the tag team tournament is intriguing in and of itself now, because you have no idea who's going to win that thing. Because like you said, Brian, initially I would have dismissed Megan Bain and Marina Shafir. I'd be completely fine. Like those two, I mean, Jay Hood, you say this all the time. If you're bringing somebody in, like you're bringing just some random person in who doesn't know anything about AEW, and you show them, hey, this is Megan Bain and Marina Shafir. Oh, they're tag team champs, right? Like, yeah, I mean, the championships would just look great on them. But even if she doesn't, get, then yeah, it could be Claudio or Pac or whoever. But my guess would be Pac, just because he's still relatively new. And then he was the anchor last night. I think you could go that way.
What about adding Megan Bain to the group? Like, you get rid of Penelope, and those two as tag champs are the leaders of the Death Riders.
Yeah, I mean, when you see those two, you don't know who's going to take the pinfall. Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you don't know who's going to take the pinfall. Like, Maria Shafir, just an absolute badass, just the way she utilized her feet, her taped feet, and had tape, had glass underneath her feet.
The glass on the table?
No.
Come on, brother.
That's what a just, spot.
That's insane. What a spot. And that whole night in Greensboro was an FU to WWE. Uh-huh. Because we're going to see the G-rated cage match at War Games, because you can't touch what they did Wednesday night. WWE and no one else, it was GCW, all these other companies, they can't touch what happened with Blood and Guts in Greensboro.
I mean, which kind of I think was the goal of having Blood and Guts this close to War Games, right? Like, hey, yeah, go ahead and go watch theirs. It ain't going to be as good as what we put on TV. Again, the problem being it's on TV and we had to deal with the commercials last night. But, you know.
Yeah.
Good luck to WWE going and trying to top what they did. Like, cause as much as we're, and I know that the tables with the fire, but even like Gabe Kidd getting involved, because Gabe Kidd was dragged behind Darby Allin's car. So it makes sense that he got involved here. Right. So I thought the men's side, it wasn't bad by any stretch of the imagination. I just enjoyed the women's one better. I thought both the matches were pretty good last night.
Are you saying we're not going to see Jey Uso with a glass super kick next week?
There will be no thumbtacks underneath his shoes to have a super kick. Like, none of that stuff.
Oh, thumbtacks on the skateboard. Like, they thought of everything on this one, man.
WWE won't be doing any of that because it would ruin the signage on the mat. You don't want to have blood or tacks, because you got to be able to see those sponsors. That's see those partners. Got to have those out there, you know. So
how else are you supposed to know to buy Slim Jims?
Right, exactly.
Or that it's Saudi season or whatever that partnership is.
Yeah, so you can't mess up that stuff. But I just thought, okay, enjoyed the women, but the men's, and I'm never like this, but I just didn't like seeing Darby set on fire and nothing to be done by it. Like, it's just,
it wasn't so much that Darby got set on fire, it's just that there were not safety precautions to prevent
him. Safety.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so where's Briscoe on that conversation too? So he should be an MVP because, my God, he was able to get those chairs over the top on the top of that cage. That was a little struggle there at first, but he's able to find a way to hike those chairs over the top on the cage floor.
I thought that part was weird, though, like the Briscoe booking, because once you see him hurt, you assume it's going to be some big surprise. But for him to still then just come out later in the match, like, well, why'd we do that? I thought that was one of my negatives of the night.
No, I think what I was looking for is Ric Flair to replace Briscoe, but Flair never showed. He never showed, so.
He said he's got apparently Rick, match in him.
Rick's got bad rotator cuff. I think he needs the Ricky Steamboat segment. I think he was planned to be a part of the Ricky Steamboat segment, and even Dax kind of slipped up when he mentioned both Steamboat and Flair in the promo. But apparently he was there in the building, he was there in the crowd, but couldn't really get physical because he needs rotator cuff surgery.
Don't you tempt him, Hood. He definitely would have rolled out there.
Yeah, he still should have been able to say something, do something out there. I mean, it's Ric Flair, for God's sakes. I what I'm thinking is the payday wasn't big enough. That's what I think.
Always a good chance.
Yep.
Always a good chance. So many other things to dive into in the world of professional wrestling. We like to call it the three count here on GKW. Brian, what is number one this week?
We had a title change Monday night on Raw in Boston. The new Intercontinental Champion for the first time in his career, John Cena, beating Dominic Mysterio. Was Cena winning the IC title the right call?
I'm good with it. Like, I was completely good with it. You give him the Grand Slam championship. They put on a hell of a match, by the way. Like, yeah. The match was really entertaining. It was good. It makes sense now for Cena to be able to wrestle. Even next week is his final Raw, right? Makes sense for him to be, oh, I'm going to defend the IC championship because he's always been, you know, a fighting champion. And he's, you know, going to defend it, obviously, in the Saturday Night's main event that will be his final match. So it gives him a reason to wrestle, I think, next week as well. Was it rushed? Sure. But when he's kind of around sporadically, it's not like you can build up this long story. And I think the way that Dominic came out was disrespectful. Like, Dom still looks great. Like, I don't think, like, Dom walked out of there looking like a chump. He still has one championship. But I had no problem with this. I thought this was a fun little wrinkle that they added as part of this, just to kick off Monday Night Raw.
You know about their history, Brian. I mean, this is what it is. Like, I had no idea that Cena was never Intercontinental Champion. I didn't know that until they were able to announce it. That surprised me. But so that finishes up the Grand Slam Championship. It took him all this time, but he became IC Champion. Right place, right time. Boston was electric, man. You turn up your TV and you listen to the fans just melt for John Cena because he's from Massachusetts. I just thought that was great. I was wondering why Triple H was just lingering. Usually he just kind of disappears and you just stand in the corner like, what's you still doing there? Ah, I know why, because he's going to set up the match with Dom and Cena. And so, you know, that'll be some memories that people will never forget in Boston, to see John Cena one last time and becoming champion. Is it a lesser championship? Yes, yeah. But it finishes up his championship reign.
So to me, it's the right call if who he drops it to. Like, I'd be fine with him dropping it right back to Dom at Survivor Series. But at the path we're going to, because you talk about not having the IC title, I keep reading on the internet, Sheamus has never been the IC title, and that's all he's missing for the Grand Slam. So him dropping the title to Sheamus at the Saturday Night's Main Event, like, that doesn't do anything for me. We talk about the youth problem in WWE. The match was fun. The match was amazing. The near falls were there. If you're just going to have him drop it to another aging superstar, why not do all that but not have him win? Like, you could have gotten
So, again, the big rumor is Gunther. Are you cool with Gunther?
I guess. He doesn't need that title, but I'd be more okay with that.
So, if we're going to – and we're going to keep going around and around with this until we actually see the match. So, Gabe, this is supposed to be someone that you're giving an opportunity to, just like – Angle gave an opportunity to Cena, Ruthless Aggression. So, like, I think that Gunther is a fine choice because that resume is amazing. Like, you retired Goldberg, you might retire Cena. But isn't this Bron Breakker's future championship, the IC title, to take him on? I mean, because that's the next thing. Everyone says it. So isn't that Bron Breakker?
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, Bron doesn't need an IC title run anymore.
Right.
No, like, I think he's already passed that.
No, that's not the point. That's not the point. It's not about the championship. It's about the opportunity. It's about him being able to put Cena on the shelf for the last match.
And I'm guessing that the reason why they are also going to showcase NXT versus main roster is because whoever that man is going to be, I don't think is going to be the opportunity that you're describing.
Well,
I think by putting Javon Evans
versus Gunther, like, Javon getting that opportunity would be awesome, but I don't see him beating Gunther.
No. But I think that's why you're going to see, again, whatever NXT talent take on whatever main roster talent and exhibition matches on that Saturday night's main events that they also announced as a part of that for Monday Night Raw. I think that kind of takes the place of, hey, this is the spirit of John getting that opportunity against Kurt Angle. Because I'm willing to bet that we're not going to suddenly see, you know, unless, like, it's Joe Hendry, right? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's like we talked about for months. There's no one there. Like, looking at the rest of the bracket. So Rusev beat Priest. Sheamus beat Nakamura. We still have The Miz versus Jey Uso. Javon Evans versus Gunther. And then LA Knight and Solo are both facing mystery opponents.
Well, LA Knight's is the tomorrow night. That's his mystery.
Yeah, I forget which one. Or Solo's tomorrow. One's Monday, one's
tomorrow. Oh, so, yeah, I think Solo's tomorrow. Solo's tomorrow. LA Knight's on Raw.
Omos? Like, I'm trying to think who even on the roster that, like, would be a big opportunity.
Well, people outside of the company too.
Wait. So what you're suggesting? Just let me get this straight. What you're suggesting is we watch three matches of Omos. Omos wins all three matches, and then he gets to face Cena. That's what you're currently suggesting right now.
I just feel like that's someone they have on the roster that they literally pulled off the road and had them drop a title because, like, oh, we're going to use you, and then they haven't. Like, maybe there's a big improvement that either going to surprise us with.
I mean, like Nakamura being pulled off the road.
Right.
Like, out of nowhere. Yeah, I mean, like him, you mean.
I guess I give them too much credit that there's a plan when they pull someone off the road.
Well, here's the thing. It's John Cena. You can't Fandango this thing. Or you can't, bum Corbin this thing. You can't do that. Yeah. Like, you got, to me, it sounds like either someone established like Gunther or someone that's the next big thing. They're pushing Bron Breakker down our throats in a good way, by the way, because it's not like how they did Roman. This is actually refreshing for this young man to be doing what he's doing. If he's the next big thing, it's not about the title. It's about how Cena sees Bron Breakker as the next big thing and will lose to him. Or does he lose to him? It's another question. Is it Sting in Greensboro again?
I can't imagine him not going, especially now that the IC title is involved. I can't see them going, oh, John, you can go over, then we'll just have a tournament for – we'll have another tournament for the IC title. I don't see that one happening. But, I mean, so then who do we think these mystery people are?
Well, Matt Cardona.
Oh, okay.
That's one. That's a choice. Nick Nemeth is a choice because he's kind of now TNA and WWE are kind of linked, so that's a choice.
Jericho.
Well, that's a news and notes, is it not? We're gonna find out. We'll find out in news and notes if it's Jericho.
Jeff Hardy.
Don't want to see that.
I mean, could you do something? And I know they've been recent guests of ours, but like Ricky Saints or Ethan Page, could they be one of those mystery guys and they can get that run? And then again, they're not necessarily young guys, but they're guys new to WWE that a win over Cena at that Saturday night's main event would be an unbelievable way to introduce them to the main WWE crowd.
Well, we asked the Canadian hero, and he's very sheepish about that question about John Cena. You notice that when we talk to him, he's very sheepish. Of course, he's in character 90% of the time, so we can't tell whether he's going to be part of this or not. So, no idea.
Yeah, I feel like it's been all year that we've built up to this moment, and while the run's gotten a lot better, especially since the heel turn, like there still isn't that obvious where, like, all right, that's going to make that person. Because wins and losses don't matter as much there.
No, they don't matter at all. Oh. I mean, except, has Nikki Bella won on our television? And she's challenging for the world championship.
It matters to me. It's good to hear from Road Dog Jesse James on the show, by the way, telling us that wins and losses don't matter.
They're telling us that. I'm not making it. They're telling us that. I'm just listening.
I don't believe that. No, I know what they're saying, but I think that's – you'd never say that out loud. But I understand we're in the unreal era, so yeah. I guess that's okay.
Hey, you get a great main event, but also there's going to be a run-in and no one's actually going to win. I see you, Cody and Alistair. Great match, but you know, no one won.
You know where we're at? We're at a crossroads here in the business where there are no like guys that are on the shelf or retired over the last 5 years where you can say, oh man, this person's gonna come back. There's no Undertaker, there's no Austin. You know, you don't have those guys anymore. That's why the business is gonna be very interesting in 10 years. It's like, oh my God, it's Sheamus. We haven't seen him for years. Like, are we missing him, you know, in a few years? You don't have the legend, the Shawn Michaels, those guys that you can just get off the shelf and they'll give you a 5-star match.
Even the indies, I feel like a lot of the big names now, like you're being signed and you're in one of the two sides. Like, I mean, who's on the is Orion hurt or are they just not using him? And I know we've already done that with Cena, but.
I think he's just not being used.
Yeah, I think he's healthy. He's just not.
Oh, he's just sitting home.
Yeah, that happens. You ever watch AEW? It happens all the time.
Can we see Andrade in this tournament? Can we see him at the Garden Monday?
Oh, bring him back. Yes. Yes. See what I mean?
Do you see that him and Otunga are talking? Yes. Like Otunga's like, I don't know if this thing's legal. And someone's like, you should tell that to Andrade.
That's
his legal
counsel.
And now they're like. I love pro wrestling so much, man. It's for stupid stuff like that. Like David Otunga is somebody, and no offense to him, like I haven't thought of David Otunga in forever. And all of a sudden, I'm just seeing these headlines popping up of him talking about Like, he's legitimately talking about the non-compete of Andrade, and now he's talking with Andrade. It's fantastic.
It's weird so that way. It's so weird that way in wrestling, right? Like, Otunga is a lawyer.
Yes.
I'm not talking to David Otunga. Like, I'm not talking to him. You know, it's funny that along those same lines, so Vince McMahon, surprisingly, was in a car accident once, surprisingly, because he never gets in car accidents. He gets in a car accident, right, in Florida. And so he doesn't call his insurance company. You know who he calls? The Briscoe brothers, who have a legit, like, car service that fixes cars. Do you know about the story?
No.
They called Gerald Briscoe. He called him. He's like, hey, pal, I got a fender bender. And he's like, well, did you call the insurance company, Mr. McMahon? No, I thought you'd fix it for me. Like, you're talking to, like, why don't you just go to, like, an actual place or call insurance? You're asking a wrestling guy to help you fix your car. Isn't that strange? Like, you just, it's just, you're in this, like, wrestling vortex instead of actually, like, the real world to be able to get help with stuff.
That's why they had all those professions as characters in the 90s.
So he was in someone. So he asked Dusty to empty his garbage, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, okay. As a common man. Okay, makes sense. All right.
What do we have at number two this week?
We also heard on Monday from William Regal that War Games coming up in a week and a half. We have some of the teams announced on the men's side. We have ourselves Punk, Cody, and Jey Uso, plus two more. On the other side, Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, Logan Paul, and two mystery spots. On the women's side, Rhea, Io, Alexa, Charlotte, and one mystery spot. They will be taking on Nia, Last Legend, Asuka, Kyrie, and another mystery spot. Who would you like to see added to War Games?
So are we sure they're adding mystery spots, or are we just going to go 4-on-4?
So everything keeps listing 5-on-5.
Okay. Well, because
that's your War Games. It's traditional.
Yeah. I know War Games are traditional 5, but we just saw 6-on-6 last night.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, in the women's side, right? Like, they added one. So I just thought, because, like, the women's side seems already pretty set. Like, I don't know if you need to, like, I don't even know who I add on the women's side. Like, because Rhea was already kind of like the mystery run-in.
Yeah.
So it kind of feels like that's set on 4-on-4, and if they're doing women 4-on-4, like, the men would also make sense 4-on-4, but I guess I don't know.
What up? Go ahead, Ed.
No, I just want to, did you say Nia Jax in that, too?
Yeah, Nia, Lash, Asuka.
Nia, Lash. Yeah, Nia, Lash, and the Kabuki Warriors versus Rhea, Io, Bliss, Alexa, and Charlotte.
I can't come up with two. What's the other women feud?
There isn't, but the two I had was you throw Jade on the heel team and Jade. Does Liv come back as a face?
I don't expect her to the Rumble. Do you?
Fair.
I mean, you can. You can.
Tiffy, so then you have Jade and Tiffy?
Sure. Sure, it's fine.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it just obviously the men's side we need to add, because right now we only have 3-on-3. But like the women's side, I sat there, I'm thinking, I'm like, I don't know who else to add to this thing.
See, with Blood and Guts, at least there's heat. You can understand what's going on there. Like, you know, it's like, okay, I understand why this is happening. Women's side, man, I don't see the rivalries. Maybe I'm missing it.
We're just Maxine and Becky.
Becky, yeah.
Like, oh, I mean, God.
God almighty.
I mean, Jade just won the title from Tiffy and no rematch yet.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Lyra Valkyrie, is Becky Bailey in this?
No.
Bailey be part of this? Okay, so.
Well, because they're like together. Yeah, because they're both baby faces. So if you add those two to the babyface team, then you need to add two to the heel team.
Actually, with Bayley, you don't know what she is in that cage, in that environment. She can be babyface or heel. Who knows? her personality changes. She has a personality split.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca recently provided an update, and she's still out with a broken finger in 3 places and the joint.
Yeah, she said she broke the joint, thought it'd be 8 to 12 weeks, and she's been out for 6 months.
Yeah, and she said it doesn't bend still.
So the Rumble.
I guess, yeah.
I think for Bianca, we're hoping for Rumble at this point.
Huh.
She's doing a lot of media.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could just do like Bailey and Lyra for the baby faces and do the Judgment Day on the heels.
But there's only one spot for the women because they got 4-on-4 already.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, yeah.
Roxanne Perez.
Oh, yeah. Just to throw bodies in. Yeah, I guess Roxanne could.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like they're going 4-on-4 because it just doesn't, like, at this point, it doesn't make sense to add anybody to that. Because so the babyface team is already kind of cobbled together, but at least they put some of an effort to make it make sense as to why it got cobbled together.
So on the men's side, what are we doing here?
You got two spots on both sides here.
Going through the men again, it's
Punk, Cody, and Jay. And on the other side, the Vision, so Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, and Logan Paul.
So Solo Sikoa or somebody from that group?
The maybe? MFTs.
Yeah.
MFTs. Which I just got a card, by the way. It was a Skeens rookie for my MFTs.
I was like, what?
Like, where the hell is this going?
You said NFTs, right? Is that what that was the thing, wasn't it? 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was.
Knockoff Bloodline. That's what we're calling them. Yeah, I guess you put, is it Solo and like Cobb?
He's just putting names out there now, brother. Oh. Yeah.
Like, so that's Bronson Reed calling a favor because he helped those guys out last year and injured himself?
Sure.
Yeah, that worked.
Like, hey, and then obviously then on the men's, on the babyface side, you can just go Jimmy and Roman.
Yeah. So you have to at that point. Which there were reports this week that apparently WWE doesn't want Cody and Roman together. Because there's no potential match down the line, so they don't want to like drop any hints.
Well, is that just because Roman makes Cody not look very good, or
that's probably part of it?
There's a match down the line with those two?
No, there is not a match.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that same report that they want to avoid having those two on TV at the same time because they want to not have people think they're just going to be another match.
Well, thank God. That's enough of that. I think we've seen enough.
Uh-huh.
See some new matches in here.
Could we see Cena thrown in there? I feel like that was the rumor a month ago, but now he's the IC champ.
Dom?
Yeah.
So then I guess Cena and Dom, and you go 4-on-4 on that side too?
It is an issue that we can't come up with five people to come with storylines and heat.
There's not enough heat with this. It just isn't. Is Drew McIntyre involved with this off of his suspension?
No, he's busy filming a movie.
Well, but his agent refuted that report.
Oh, okay. He's not filming a movie.
Yeah, he's not filming a movie, apparently. I don't know. The one thing I do know is SmackDown is starting to slowly drift back to skippable territory. And that's not good for anybody, especially when you are trying to build teams for one of your biggest PLEs of the year. Like, Survivor Series is still one of the pillar events, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay. Stadium.
Well, yes, it is.
Yeah, they're doing it at a baseball stadium in San Diego. So, I don't know. Like, if they only go 4-on-4 for both these matches, like, that says a lot, does it not?
Yep.
Funny you say that about SmackDown because, I don't know, just the Undisputed Heavyweight Champions on that show.
Yep.
That says a lot, doesn't it?
They're selling tickets. Last update from WrestleTix, it's set up for 35,276, and they've distributed about 32. There's like 3,000 tickets left.
Yeah, it'll fit fine. People from LA will come down. It's gonna, and that's a destination city. Even in November, ooh, just a little chilly. Not cold, but just a little chilly.
Put just on a little chilly breaker. With that wind. Yeah, with that wind coming off the ocean.
Yes.
I
love San Diego.
I'm trying to think what other, like.
Can we work a young guy in here? I know we're not doing the scene. That's like Obafemi. Like, could he somehow become a part of it?
The event's 2 weeks away, Brian.
I know, but they don't know that. They forgot to book it.
Brian's like, it's not my fault. I've been trying to book this thing for months.
You should be. You know, here's a problem. I think that AI is booking WWE right now. It's ChatGPT. That's the problem because this is ridiculous. This might be one of our worst segments we've had this year. Like, because we can't come up with anything. We're supposed to be the answer man.
But at least we'll be able to legal on the roster to say.
Well, like again, there's plenty of bodies you can throw on either side. It's just trying to make it like connect the dots and make it make even WWE sense is the hard part. Like, that's the tough part of this whole thing.
But the bottom line of all of it is just no real, you know, blood and guts like stories or real heat. That's what we're talking about. Like, oh my God, when they get in the cage, man, it's going to be something, man. It's going to be flesh being pulled off. It's going to be blood, man. I cannot wait to see. You don't get any of that in WWE. There is there's no anticipation of, oh my God, when they get together, man, it's going to be on. But you got that Wednesday night, though. Well,
the guys we have in it right now, Punk and Logan, like, they started a week ago. Like, Logan interrupted Punk.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, Logan, but the only thing where the blood feud makes sense is Punk versus The Vision.
Sure, I'm good with that.
Like, Punk versus Vision, like, that's... And even Jay kind of just kind of loosely associated with that. Like, Jay, what the hell's Cody Rhodes doing here? I feel like when Brett Favre showed up in Something About Mary. What the hell's Brett Favre doing here?
Yeah, it is. Just
like,
there.
I don't know why. Like, I didn't realize Cody had issues with The Vision.
He's not even on that show, so why wouldn't you realize that? Like, he's on a separate show, a different night of the week. He doesn't interact with The Vision.
But they don't have anything for him to do, so they're like, oh, we're going to pigeonhole you into this.
Go get
him. You're dead offense in the match, so you're in.
And then with Jay, what side is he on?
Yeah, I feel like this is the Jay heel turn. We'll see that.
Which is cool.
It is Timo. It is Timu blood and guts. We're going to see here in San Diego. This is a problem with booking, where it's like once it's in the ring, it's going to be fine. It'll be WWE style war games, all good. But as far as I want to see matchups that I can't wait to see. And I don't see that in this matchup.
Which is why I told this, and I said this last week. I feel like I say this every year around this, Hood. Like, and this is true for AEW. AEW made it work for theirs. I mean, they had to kind of cobble together, I think, the women's one, the women's, you know, heels a little bit. But at least they had those teams set pretty well in advance. But you don't have to do war games, because as we sit here trying to make this make sense, like, that's the problem. You're just shoehorning yourself into the corner, because some of these other stories, like, again, Punk trying to chase after The Vision, that's intriguing. Like, there's little stories here and there that make sense in WWE, but trying to, like, mash them all together to make sense for a big war games match right now, that's missing. That's just missing right now.
Yep. Welcome to WWE.
All right, what do we got at number 3?
The PWI 250, the women's edition, came out this week. Mercedes Moné at number 1, Toni Storm at number 2, Saya Katami at 3, Tiffany Stratton 4, Stephanie Vaquer at 5. If you had to build your company around one women wrestler, who are you building around?
For me, my answer is still Becky Lynch. I feel Becky can do everything. She can be the best babyface. She can be the best heel. Whatever you need Becky Lynch to do, whatever you need Becky Lynch to be, she would be my first pick of a woman to build a company around. Again, like, I don't think that – I don't know how much longer she's going to wrestle, because I think she also has some, like, Hollywood aspirations and wants to try to do some of that other stuff. But I guess I kind of look at it very similarly for her. Like, if another new promotion came around, like, she would legitimize it the way that kind of Chris Jericho legitimized AEW being their first world heavyweight champion. That's how I would kind of look at Becky. Like, whatever I need Becky to be, she's going to be for me, and she's going to be really good at it.
Yes. And she told us on Good Karma Wrestling, when I asked her, I said, hey, what else do you want to accomplish? And she said, nothing. I got nothing else to accomplish. It's part of our YouTube. Go to YouTube and subscribe to Good Karma Wrestling to check out that interview with Becky Lynch. She was great. She was promoting her book with us. So for me, it's either Rhea Ripley or Mercedes, but I'm going to go with Rhea Ripley just because, guys, we haven't seen anyone look the way that Rhea does since China. Yeah. Meaning just the look is just different, right? And the kids love her. The females love her, the men love her because they're intrigued by her in a lot of different ways. And she's great with the media. I just think her sheer size and ability and the electricity that she brings when she comes to the ring, I think that's an attraction. Because we haven't seen anything like that since the 90s. And so Mercedes would be number 2 on the list only because cousin of Snoop Dogg, is always around the Hollywood scene, that kind of thing. Sports fan. So she'd be second, but Rhea for me would be first.
And when it comes to Rhea, like, we've seen other, like, kind of like her body type. I mean, look at Raquel Rodriguez, obviously Charlotte, like they're taller, you know, they're really athletic, but even when she just has that it factor.
Yeah.
That there's just something that stands out that you can't quite put your finger on when it comes to Rhea.
Charisma.
Yeah, I saw her carry the Raw brand for months, like at one point, like over the last year or so. So she's my one also. My two, though, is I go Tony. Like, I think Tony Storm is one of those people, you put her in any story, in any situation, and creatively she's going to figure out a way to make it work. Like, even going back to War Games last night, her selling when Mina's getting beat up and, like, ultimately being the one to surrender, like, she gets you to care, and she has that creativity, which I feel like we don't see in most of pro wrestling, men or women. And that's someone you could build around.
Her timeless character lasting this long makes no sense to me.
Agreed.
Like, there's no way she should still be doing timeless Tony Storm. And I know she took, I mean, what was that? Like a 2-month break from it when she became like the rookie Tony Storm as part of a larger ruse of the timeless Tony Storm.
That little break was amazing.
Yes. Like the whole, like pretending to meet people for the first time, like being this little underdog rookie, it just kind of, again, showed her range and what she's capable of. Like, she's obviously on the short list too. Like, you know, but also like the fact that the three of us came up with different answers.
Yeah.
I think it tells you how good the women's division or women's divisions across all of professional wrestling, the good hands that they're in right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's amazing the what the women are doing right now in every company.
AEW has so many great women that's in that. And it's AEW and ROH. They got so many great women on that roster that they could have their own company if they wanted to. If they wanted to, they could just branch off and just do their own thing and be popular, I think.
Athena is number 7 on this list, and it's someone we barely see on television.
Yeah, dominant. Doing her independent thing, but then when she's in ROH, she has these great matches. I've seen them. A lot of people have not, and there's a reason for that, I guess. So went for that TV deal.
I don't know if that's happening at this point.
Yeah. But you're right, Gabe. There's so many great talented women. Remember when Julia was a thing in WWE? Remember that?
She was 21. All that fanfare. No longer the United States champion, which according to reports, they just threw that belt out there and didn't have any long-term plans, which if you watch on television, you already knew that.
Where's our girl? Where is the new United States champion? The first and fourth United States champion, our girl Chelsea Green.
28th.
Oof, too low.
See, yeah, that's way too low. She should have been ahead of Julia even, come on.
I agree.
Too low. And by the way, I mean, outside of Chelsea Green having that championship, it's a curse to everyone else.
Right.
Because
Zelina's not even a wrestler anymore.
I read her name because I was like, you said first and fourth. And I mean, Julia was third. I was like, who was second?
Well, right.
Zelina.
Right.
Yes, I remember.
And she doesn't even have a last name. Listen, she got rid of the Vegas. She's just Zelina now.
Golly.
It's Black, isn't it? She lost
the championship and her name.
Is her name Black?
Maybe.
Zelina Black, like Aleister Black, right?
Right.
You would think, but
I think that's
she's relegated to slapping John Cena on Friday nights.
So that's what's happened to the championship.
Cody Rhodes.
Cody, yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happened to the championship, guys. You put that outside of Chelsea, she's the only one who can do something with it. Everyone else is just that for all the fanfare for Julia, just like, and you gave her an injured NXT wrestler to be her manager, whatever. I'm like, she did nothing. I was there in Chicago when she wrestled somebody. I forget. See, that's how bad the match was. She wrestled somebody. There was a night that Cena had his last night in Chicago.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like the mid-card match. And there was zero reaction. Zero.
And they built her up so much in NXT. They did the stuff with her and Vicar. They put both belts on one of them. I don't even remember which one, honestly. And then they get to the main roster. I guess Vicar's doing something now. And she gets to
match
Nikki Bella. But baffling how they're using her.
Well, but that was kind of the problem that Vince always had, wasn't it? That somebody would be incredibly hot in NXT. I don't know if they just assumed that, clearly because she was so big in NXT, everybody knows her up here. But that's just not the case.
Right.
That's just not the case. So you have to reestablish the character. You can't just have them show up. Like, again, there are very few, I think, you've been able to do that. Kevin Owens being one of them, you know, when he showed up going face-to-face with Cena, U.S. title versus NXT title, you know, he shows up right away. Okay, I think people understand who this is. You don't have to reestablish them for the main roster base. I think Charlotte obviously is another one of those. Like, everybody knows who Charlotte Flair was at that point. So you didn't necessarily have to reestablish her. But other than that, that might be the list, guys. Like, even if Stephanie Vaquer, I think they should have tried to reestablish her or try to show her character a little bit more before giving her the world championship. I mean, that's just kind of a mistake they make with NXT talent. Like, somebody gets over, then they bring him up, and they're like, oh, yeah, clearly. I mean, I guess Bron Breakker would be on that list.
Sure.
But at this point, he's been around long enough, and everybody knows his lineage back to the Steiners, that, you know, people kind of knew who he was, and they're able to connect to him because also, like, you just watch him move, and you go, oh, yeah, this is different.
Yeah, that guy's fun to watch.
Yeah, so I think it's just a mistake that they make with a lot of the NXT people, that they just assume, oh, it's doing pretty good on Tuesday nights, it's on network television now with CW, that they just assume everybody knows who this person is, and then they have a hard time establishing because they don't actually give us a reason to care other than, oh, yeah, they were over in NXT.
And also, to be fair, under Vince never watched NXT. So he was like a lot of the fans. He didn't know those people. He wasn't watching. That was Triple H's bag. He was not watching. So, who's this? Who? And just like, okay, well, they're going to start from the bottom because now they're on WWE main roster territory. So,
baffling.
Yeah.
That's it's kind of what happened with Melo. I mean, they never gave him a championship, but like they debuted him and now he's like trying to build himself up.
This is bad for him, though. Like, he's going to get cut here next year. No. You know this, right? Like that, like, it's been too long now, guys. I mean, at some point, you're just now going to be a babyface with this whole thing with Miz. Now you're going to get some attention. Even that is lower mid-card. No one really cares about that whole thing with Miz and Melo can't miss, but he's not going to make it. And I think he was a hell of a wrestler. He and Trick were
still
great.
Still is.
Yeah.
But
that's
why
that's someone that doesn't get released, though. That's someone they hold on to because they fear of him going somewhere else and, you know, thriving. Like we see with Ricochet. Like, Ricochet was in that boat where it's like, oh, this isn't working on the WWE roster. It's like, oh, wait, he has a personality? And like, oh, he can actually use a microphone? Like, it's baffling.
Going back to this question, and this had just popped in my head a couple minutes ago. You know who should be on this list? Natty. Not Natalya. Natty. Like, if somebody actually puts Natty on television... Let's do it. If we ask this question 12 months from now and somebody puts Nat, and again, not Natalya, I want Natty Neidhart. That's who I want on my television. I want to see the badass that goes out there. Like, Natty. Natty would be on this list if somebody just unleashes her.
Where is she on the list, Brian?
She is.
Scroll toward the bottom, you'll find her.
74.
74. That's too high.
Well, okay, wait.
Natalya's too high.
Is Natalya at 74 or is Natty at 74?
It says Natalya, so the time frame is, I believe, October 1st of 24 through September 30th of 25. So that includes some of that indie stuff, but also includes a lot of time not on TV.
Now, see, this, Gabe, that's the analytics of wrestling. You have to understand this.
Yes.
It is the Natty and the Natalya mix. That makes 74.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The Natty plus Natalya makes 74 makes perfect sense to me. Makes perfect sense to me. If somebody lets her be Natty for 12 months and they put her on television, like, I want her in blood. I want her... Maybe WWE releases her and we can put her in Blood and Guts next year. Or maybe WWE comes to their senses and puts her in War Games next year. Like, give me a year of Natty being a badass and, like, you're going to print money. How are we the only ones who see this?
No, I 100%. I don't know what WWE's afraid of. Is that too real for them in an unreal era? Why can't she just be unleashed like she was in GCW and other indies that she does?
Because
they
need her making those appearances out there and shaking hands and kissing babies. So mean Natty, that doesn't look right.
You got plenty of other people to do that. Just let her do it for 12 bleeping months, man. Like, can we just let her be? Like, because here's the other thing. She's been such a good hand for such a long time. Yeah. And now she's got unbelievable character. Like, an unbelievable character that, like, we've gotten a taste of. That if you unleash that, oh, My God, you could have something incredibly powerful to build around in your women's division, and for whatever reason, you're just too afraid to pull the trigger on it.
She would punch you in the beard if you called her a good hand.
Good.
I'm just telling you. You don't want her punching you in the beard.
No, I don't, but like, good. Maybe that'll get her be natty. Whatever I got to do to have her be natty on my television set, I am willing to do.
Because that is not good when you call somebody a good hand. That's they don't like that shit. But if that's what you are, that's what you are. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's what it is. Good hand. So, yeah. I totally agree with you. But that list is intriguing. There's so many great wrestlers. And it's not just the United States. Internationally, they're really, really doing well.
Wait, so in the top 10, I think it was what? 3 AEW, 5 WWE, and 2 international?
Yeah.
Well, I guess AEW/ROH because Athena's.
Yeah, so 3 there. Yeah, 2 international and the rest WWE. Because Naomi was 9, Rhea 10, EO 6, and Vicaire 5.
That's fair. That's what Michael Cole calls EO Sky the best wrestler in the company.
Yeah.
The best natural wrestler in the company. That's huge praise. Yeah.
All right, what do we got at news and notes this week, Brian?
All right, we mentioned the name earlier. Chris Jericho on the Talk is Jericho podcast was talking about TNA Bound for Glory crowd, said it was, quote, like a WWE-level crowd, and added that compared to Dynamite at the ECW Arena, quote, TNA looked like the second biggest company in the world.
Oh, so he's gone. He's gone, gone. Like, he ain't coming back. That's what – oh, okay, okay.
Oh, that's what that means.
Okay, so we're not going to see him on AEW television. Okay, all right. I mean, I kind of assumed, but this is just – this is the official, hey, I'm going to be in Saudi for the Rumble. Yeah. Like that – he might as well have just said that, right?
That's exactly the telltale sign. When you tell me that 7,000 people in Lowell, Massachusetts is better than whatever they got in Texas, what, 20,000, 25,000? Right. Okay, and bigger than anything they did at Wembley and all that. No, 7,000 in Lowell, Massachusetts seems a lot bigger than AEW. That'll be all.
Second He's biggest gone. Company in the world. He said so.
Okay. All right.
Because they got a hell of a TV deal because everybody can watch TNA all over the world.
I will just tell you, I will tell just Chris Jericho to his face, if Frankie Kazarian's in your company as one of your lead heels, you're not the second best company in America. you are not. Just saying.
How about this? Dax via the Beyond the Bell podcast says he texts Chad Gable after working with Jet Speed, said it's the best chemistry they've had with the team since working with American Alpha in NXT. He also added Kevin Knight will be a big star for AEW in 3 to 5 years.
It's a long time. 3 to 5 years. That's a long time in wrestling.
I think we forget how young Kevin Knight is, though.
How young is he? But here's the thing. They have not wrestled a ton. I'm not on Cage Match. I'm not going to go to cagematch.com to check out what's going on with that. But they haven't wrestled and went through the loop like they did with American Alpha. They wrestled every night.
Right.
They're, as a matter of fact, I would love to see like the old school DVD set of that. Apparently, from what I'm told, they went like sometimes 25, 30 minutes through, and it was great tag team wrestling. But he says that about Jet Speed?
Yeah, who was, remember, just thrown together the last few months. I remember we asked Speedball, like, how this team come to be. He goes, I don't know. They just said we had to work together. Like, it just sort of happened.
Wow. That's right. Okay, whatever he says.
Kevin Knight's 28, by the way.
Yeah, like, he's still pretty young.
What is that in indie years? 35?
That's a good point.
Broken glass, bad rings. It's just like, you know. But okay, if he says so, I think that some of those matches are hidden. Hopefully they'll be on the network, by the way, because WWE's YouTube has been working overtime.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those will come out at some point.
That'd be cool. Time to re-up your New Japan World subscription, because January 4th, Wrestle Kingdom 20, we now know Tanahashi's final opponent. It'll be Okada for the 18th time. Okada versus Tanahashi, Wrestle Kingdom 20 at the Tokyo Dome.
I mean, it just makes sense, right? Like, I know... There were like rumors that Shinsuke was kind of hoping that maybe he could get his hat in the ring, but there was just no way to kind of overcome some of the hurdles that exist between like WWE and obviously AEW has the connection with New Japan Pro Wrestling. So this just makes the most sense to me. This makes the most sense to have that be the final match.
They're going to connect this all on AEW TV so people can go to New Japan and check this out, right? Like, because
streaming on Max.
Maybe because they are planning little nuggets because Okada keeps talking shit about how they should be the main event and not the New Japan World title, which Takeshita has. So typically the world title is the main event. He's like, I know I've said it in the past, but now that I'm involved, like, I don't want other people to have to follow myself and Tanahashi. So there's some breadcrumbs there.
Okay, well, maybe we'll get a good match out of Okada.
Maybe. I
think the maybe we'll get
a match. The part I worry about more there, but yes.
You said January 4th?
January 4th.
So that's overnight into the 5th, or?
Yeah, I never remember. Check back that week. I'll let you know that.
Yeah.
That's so far January 4th. Away. Yeah. That's an NFL Sunday. So I was looking at that. So we'll figure it out. All right. We'll figure it out.
We'll be on it. And finally, according to TKO higher-ups, they're reportedly calling for the WWE to move past some of the Vince-created events on the pay-per-view side. According to some, though, that will not apply to WrestleMania because, quote, Saudi isn't paying for WrestlePalooza.
Yeah, like you can't get rid of WrestleMania. You can't get rid of – like I guess past – I mean, you're just kind of making up names, right, for what the pay-per-views are past the pillar events. Like Money in the Bank. I mean, I guess Vince technically created Money in the Bank, but wasn't that a Jericho? Or no, whose idea was that?
Yeah.
Was that a Jericho idea?
Yes.
So like, as we just covered, he's probably coming back to your company. Yeah. So you should be fine there. Like you can't change the name of the Royal Rumble. Like that's an established brand. You're not going to change SummerSlam. Like your pillar events, I think are going to stay your pillar events. If you want to bring back Great Balls of Fire or In Your House, like feel free. Like, I guess I just don't care what the names of most of these other ones are, other than the traditional like powerhouse ones that you do care about.
One thing that TKO does not care about is wrestling or wrestling tradition. Uh-huh. They care about the money. Yeah. They definitely care about the money. They do not care about wrestling or wrestlers wrestling or wrestling tradition. Any of it. They do not. You ever hear a Mark Shapiro conference call? You ever hear those? He does not care about any of this outside of saying, hey, Vince was here for families. Well, F families. We're here to be able to charge through the nose. We had a caller on Pro Wrestling Nation the other last Sunday that was talking about how at one point, second row in the city that he was in, he had his family and it cost $100. Now that's $550. Yeah. Second row ringside in the city that he was in. Like that is a huge jump from the McMahon time where he did care about families coming, where it was fairly priced, not cheap, but fairly priced, to where it is now to UFC prices. I mean, they care about the bottom line, number one, and the rest of it can fall into play. They don't care about creative. They don't care about wrestling. They just care about how much money they can rake in.
I do wonder, though, like, does the name value help with the money part? Like, if you take a SummerSlam and call it Great Balls of Fire instead, are you still able to get the same dollars for those seats?
You know who does care about wrestling tradition? Wrestling fans.
Ah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, by calling it SummerSlam, it's like, all right, I guess I'll fork the money over.
Yeah, like, if you change the name of WrestleMania, even if you try to make it as big as, it's two nights, it's in Vegas, we're doing all this stuff, fans aren't going to fork over five figures,
right?
Unless it's WrestleMania. Like why would you want to get rid of some of these brands that have been built and associated with your? It'd be like the Green Bay Packers going, you know what? We don't need to be the Packers anymore. Let's call ourselves something else. But what?
Oh,
like you've had 100 years of this brand, and now you just want to throw it away? Like that doesn't make sense. That's the part that like, yeah, I understand like you want to establish some of your own things, but also there's some tradition that you don't want to get rid of because there's a ton of value behind it.
And there's 8 events throughout the year that you could do that for.
Yeah.
Like you keep the core 4 and then fine, change the rest, whatever.
Yeah, you don't change anything. Here's the thing. you might want to change the prices for these tickets. Do you really believe that? Does TKO really believe that the WWE is the NFL? Do they think that with their tentpole events, they could charge Super Bowl prices? Does TKO understand that in those main seats of the Super Bowl, those are corporate sponsors? There's not enough corporate sponsors in WWE to fill those seats. It's just not. Not enough. The regular fan still matters. They better figure this shit out. I'll tell you that right now. And it's too bad AEW is not smart enough to be able to capitalize on this. If I had a promotion, I'd be waving Old Glory the entire time. Just like, yep, we've got family prices, and we're doing it in North America. And I would make sure, like, hey, we have you can bring your family. You can be able to afford parking and merch and everything and your ticket. Instead of WWE gouging you with four times the amount of the ticket from even just 2 years ago. Right. If nothing else, McMahon cared about that. But this company, everything's a Super Bowl. Okay.
It's almost like, Brian, you went over they've got like 3,000 or so tickets available for Survivor Series. I think they're okay with that. Like, I feel like if they sell it out too fast, they look at that as a negative.
Right.
We didn't charge enough for this, is probably what they're thinking.
Oh, no question. Well, they're mad at McMahon now. They thought that McMahon was not charging enough, and that's why they're going through the roof for this. That's what I'm telling you. Like, they don't sell another ticket. It's sold out in San Diego. That is a Padres Friday night game, Thursday day game. Like, that's what it is. So they're already sold out. The rest of it's gravy now.
So weird.
Yeah, so, I'm honestly, like, this is – and we don't talk a ton about the ratings and ticket – really, like, it's not something we necessarily do a ton of. I am really curious to see what these ticket prices do because I – especially for WrestleMania this year and then WrestleMania – so WrestleMania not this year, but WrestleMania 26 and then WrestleMania in 28 because they're going to Saudi in 27. And I think TKO believes that, oh, there's going to be a huge demand because nobody's going to be able to get over to go to Mania in Saudi. But when they bring it back to the States, man, we're going to be able to imagine what we're going to be able to charge. Demand's going to be through the roof. But what they don't realize is they run the risk of American fans going, oh, maybe I don't need to go to WrestleMania. I can just watch it on TV. I can just stream it on ESPN app. And that's what you do when you start charging that much.
Mark Spiro did say that the company isn't close to its ceiling yet when it comes to profitability per fan.
See, exactly.
Yeah, room to rise.
They're not happy with how McMahon was running business and just letting fans just come in there with, you know, at a good rate. They're trying to go way, way up to charge those tickets. And by the way, they're trying to do this while the company's popular, but not hot. There's a difference between the two. It's popular. Hey, they'll just show you in the front row all these singers and all these actors and these B-list shows on Netflix. All good. People know the WWE brand, but is it a hot brand? And the answer is no. It is not.
What did you boys have as your matches of the week?
How about Collision? How about we got Mox and Roderick Strong?
Yeah.
So damn good match. I hate that the referee was manipulated there where it's like, hey, they're bringing out a table. I think you saw Pac pulling out a table. Like, hey, is anyone going to do anything about this? No? Okay. Good match there. And as you mentioned earlier, Cena Dom was a great match.
Cena Dom was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Made my list. Also, the women's tag team match made my list from Raw. Tag team championship match saw a title change there with the Kabuki Warriors. Like the chemistry that Charlotte and Asuka have is fantastic.
Yep. We mentioned earlier women's blood and guts. And also from SmackDown, Dragunov versus Gargano. A random good wrestling match thrown in the middle of your WWE programming.
So Dragunov is here to have these challenges so he can barely hang on every match?
Right.
Holy smokes. It's the bottom of the knife every time.
And the crowd doesn't seem to really care that much, but hey, at least we're getting some wrestling mixed in there.
Does the audience care more about Dragunov or Rusev?
Ooh.
Photo finish.
Yes.
Ooh, that's a I mean, I want to say Rusev, but I don't know if it's right.
Yeah, I don't know either there.
I'm going to say Rusev.
Dragunov is doing all the histrionics and pointing right in the camera, and people are like, all right, nice coat.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Ring the bell. Let's go.
Cool new tat.
Yes, everyone's got the tat. One of us has to have the neck tat, I believe, on this show. Gabe?
Not it.
Anything? I mean, the blood and guts. Obviously, we like the women.
Yeah, the women's. Yeah, the women's one was my third one.
Yeah,
the women's.
And when I watched Hangman Page, and I saw Page in his title matchup, I was like, God, that guy. He reminds me so much of Butch Reed. Like, it's almost believable that at one point he's going to be a singles champion.
Yeah,
powerhouse. I mean, there were some good spots in that. That was one of the better episodes of Dynamite in quite some time. Right? It was just a really good episode of wrestling TV. Again, it helps that it's 2.5 hours and you've got two blood and guts matches that delivered. But even the stuff in the middle, like the stuff with FTR was good, and Steamboat, and then the match with Powerhouse, even though, again, Powerhouse never wins. So kind of knew how that was playing out.
Steamboat still looks good, man.
Yeah,
but, that promo sounded like a 73-year-old doing a promo, unfortunately. It just, some of the words just didn't come out. And that's okay, because he's Ricky Steamboat.
He was going to say, like, hey, I know you. Like, all right, Rick, cool.
Okay, Rick. Yeah, that's why we're out here. We know each other. Okay.
Would you have been shocked? Because there were a couple of times he kept giving the microphone back to Shivani.
Yeah.
And then he kept, like, reaching for it. One of the times Shivani should have went, nah, Rick, you just let them do their thing. We're okay here.
You know, Ricky Steamboat, as we close, Ricky Steamboat should have been a heel. You know why he should have been a heel? Because he never was in his career, going back to the 70s. He was never a heel. But if he was going to be a heel, he should have been a heel with his real name. Dick Blood.
Okay.
His real name is Richard Blood. Imagine Dick Blood as a heel.
Make sure you're checking out our YouTube page, youtube.com/@GoodKarmaWrestling. Comment, head, subscribe on YouTube. I get it. Just trying to move on.
But again, no, you sold that like Shivani on Collision, so appreciate that. Thank you. I'll just leave now.
We got a lot of more stuff to dive into in the world of professional wrestling. We'll do it right here next week on GKW.
Dick Blood's the great.